Blog Talk Radio.
Another week of football, and you know what? We're back to talk about football. Thank you for letting us bring this football news to you, because you know we faced a lot to get here throughout the week. There's trials and tribulations, adversities that we go through, but now when you got the Neek and Rude show, you're here, football fans. You're home. Now it's time to crack a beer, watch some football on Sunday, but first it's Friday night. I know Ohio State ain't playing tonight. You mad about that? I don't know if we got any MAC games. I think USC's playing. But right now, we're going to tell you about what's going on in the NFL. And, Neek, before I get into it with the most recent news, I wanted to say, Neek, that the trade deadline is coming up on Tuesday, October 29th. I'm kind of excited because we all know that my Browns are in the market for an offensive lineman. We don't know if that's going to happen, Trent Williams. We don't know if that's going to happen. You know, there's a lot of other names I've thrown out there, putting feelers out to the Eagles, teams like that, the Giants. We'll see what happens. But, Neek, before this trade deadline happens on October 29th, I want to get straight into it and see what you've got to say about some of the trades that have already been down. So if we don't mind starting off right there, we can talk about some of these receiver trades.
Yeah, it's very interesting, some of the trades that went down, because the biggest head scratcher to me was Quandre Diggs, the safety for the Lions. I did not see that one coming. The Lions players didn't see that one coming. They're all talking about it in the media, like, what the hell? Damon Snacks Harrison, he upset, like, how you going to trade one of our best safeties? I don't get that either. But, hey, he was shipped out of town. I understand that the Lions' pass secondary has been struggling the last couple weeks, but there's no reason to give up one of your top players in the secondary. I don't get that. As far as the receiver market that's going on, it's funny because when you look at it, you know, I'm a Giants and Raiders fan, so.
Neek, we know that.
They'll know that, but I'm just saying. I had to put that out there because we got new fans that listen every
week.
Well,
since you was talking about DBs already, I hate to cut you off, but, you know, Garrett Conley, why don't you go ahead and enlighten people about that? You know, he got shipped away to the Texans for a third rounder.
Yeah, I mean, he had to go. I mean,
he didn't quite get dropped off. But.
Nah, he had to go. I mean, it was ugly in the game against the Packers. He whiffed on that 74-yard touchdown pass, slipped coming out his breaks. I mean, come on, man. You're supposed to be – you're calling yourself one of the top corners in the game, and then he was talking about this past season, I'm about to have an island by myself. It's going to be called Conley Island and all this stuff. Dude. You need to shut it up, man. Seriously, your island is not an island. It's a resort. It's underwater. Come on, man.
It's very enjoyable for the receivers, like a resort. So I want to talk about two receivers, since we just mentioned that. They got traded. Mohamed Sanu, he was on the way from the Atlanta Falcons, a team who was struggling to hold on to any semblance of a season at 1-6. And then he's getting moved to the Patriots, who are undefeated right now at 7-0. Don't know if he'll be you know, a participant in this game with the Browns against the Patriots, but he was traded for a second-round draft pick. Then, you know, when we talk about the other receiver move, Emmanuel Sanders was traded from the Broncos to the 49ers, who are definitely in need of receiver help, but Deebo Samuel was another guy I think that was emerging for the 49ers. Now, the 49ers did go ahead and send a third and a fourth-round draft pick to the 49ers in exchange of that deal. And then also, Neek, there's a couple other headlines in the news I wanted to mention. The Patriots signed Justin Bethel, defensive back, So he's going to help out on special teams for sure for him. We already mentioned that the deal that they made for Sanu. Lions, Kerryon Johnson, talk about some of the injuries. He is placed on IR. He's going to be done for the year. The Jags, Marcell Dareus, their defensive tackle, placed on IR, done for the year. Josh Gordon placed on minor IR with a kind of a reoccurring knee issue that he's had. And probably his time as a Patriot is over. Patrick Mahomes, we already kind of knew about his knee dislocation, just to update you on that. We knew that he was limited in practice. He was throwing throughout the week. But with that knee dislocation, that's actually something that looked really serious. So for him to be practicing this week, probably a sign of optimism for Chiefs fans, but definitely on a cautious note, they need to be keeping him out as long as possible for them to still be able to maintain and go to the playoffs. Then, the last thing, you know, we kind of want to touch on still in the headlines, Cam Newton, he is practicing this week. Don't expect for him to take Kyle Allen's job at this point, right? You know, why he's still not completely 100% healthy. Drew Brees practicing. It'd be interesting to see what goes on there. Expect Drew Brees to take back over, but obviously Bridgewater is playing very well as well. I believe he's undefeated as a starter. And Matt Ryan, he actually had an ankle injury, I believe, and did not practice this week. So Matt Schaub will be the starter there for the Falcons if Matt Ryan is ruled out, which he has not yet been as of Friday night, the 25th. So, Nick, I want to give you a chance to kind of reflect on any of the headlines that we had, as well as wrap up these scores just really quickly of last week and week 7, and then we'll go into our predictions for week 8. Nick, on the headlines, talking about the trades for the receivers, Sanu and Sanders. You're talking about any of these guys on IR, anything stick out to you there?
Well, the Sanu trade was actually a good trade. The Patriots had to do something. Sanu, big body receiver. He's not the quickest, but he knows how to run routes. It's all up to him on see how quick he can learn his Patriots playbook. If he can pick that up pretty fast, he'll definitely contribute to this offense. But, Rue, before we get into last week's scores, before you break them down, let me get my W Gutta Award. Is that okay? All right, W Gutta Award. For those new fans to tune in, the W Gutta Award is Who Gave Up That Ass with No Vaseline. And this past week's award goes to the W Gutta Award, goes to the New York Giants offensive line. I'm talking about Nate Solder. I'm talking about Mike Reimers. I'm not going to put Zeitler in there. He played solid. Will Hernandez struggled just a little bit. But this is for the tackles, Solder and Reimers. I'm telling you right now, both of these tackles have been a disappointment in the New York Giants this upcoming season. I had big hopes. I was excited that the Giants got Mike Reimers because I was saying, well, Chad Wheeler, he's terrible. I mean, we don't need to bring him back. But Chad Wheeler right now, who's a free agent, he's looking like, and y'all got rid of me for this Mike Reimers. Y'all thought he was going to be the savior and do better than me. He's terrible. Mike Reimers is garbage. Nate Solder signed that massive contract with us a couple years ago. He came over for last season. He's terrible this year. Him and Reimers, I think they lead the league in the most pressures by a tackle tandem, and it's pretty bizarre, but it's pretty upset to a Giants fan. And so 8 sacks last week was given up by this offensive line. And Chandler Jones, he had a hell of a game. He made him look like Lawrence Taylor against us last week. And Chandler Jones said thank you, because that's probably what? Multiple sacks in the game for Chandler Jones, probably in his contract, is probably a $50,000 bonus. So he just made $100,000 last week. And that's not including his game check. That's in bonuses. Probably made more than that. But thanks a lot, New York Giants offensive line. So with that being said, the W Gutta Award for week 7 goes to the New York Giants offensive line.
Okay, Neek, thank you for blessing us with that. With Neek's special award that will go to the team who gave up the most of that ass. All right, so let's go ahead and run through these week 7 scores. What we're going to do, we'll start off as we always do. We kind of already covered this with the Thursday night game. We touched on the fact that Kansas City just blew Denver out. It's 36. Going to these Sunday 1 o'clock games, we talked about the Mahomes' injury last week. We're not going to harp on that anymore. Kind of updated it this week. You know where they're at with that. He's out. The Rams, 37-10 over the Falcons. Falcons are struggling. They bounce down to 1-6. Rams get over 500. 37-10 Rams over the Falcons. Miami lost to the Buffalo Bills because the Buffalo Bills are actually a good team this year, whereas Miami is tanking for Tua or maybe for Herbert. We don't know who they're tanking for at this particular moment, but they're still tanking. We don't know. We don't know. They haven't really decided which player they're tanking for, but they're tanking for sure. Okay, 31-21, Buffalo beat Miami. Miami did try to put up some resistance, but it was Mutombo with the big Mutombo finger, so... Buffalo said, we're going to win by double digits, so it doesn't really matter. All right, 27-17 as the Jacksonville Jaguars at 3-4 beat the Cincinnati Bengals, who are 0-7. I actually went down to that game. Bengals, it's time to move on from Andy Dalton. That's all I'm going to say. Jacksonville Jaguars and the legend of Gardner Minshew continues. 42-30 Minnesota going 5-2. Before we get into their Thursday night results, beating the Detroit Lions, who were 3-3-1 after the end of this game. Again, Minnesota beat Detroit 42-30. Green Bay beat Oakland 42-24. That took Green Bay actually 6-1 on the year. One of the teams that is. I would say, the class in the NFC, who are the teams going to have to deal with. They took down the Oakland Raiders, who are definitely game and playing actually very well lately. Indianapolis, the Colts beat the Houston Texans, taking the Colts to 4-2 on the season, 30-23. The Colts win this one. Then we had a very nasty game in terms of weather and really in terms of score and offensive production. San Francisco beats Washington 9-0. Nick texted me endlessly about this game as, again, I was at that Bengals game. But in the Titans over the Chargers had some last-minute shenanigans and were not able to produce wins. As they've been doing pretty much constantly this season, not being able to produce wins. Tennessee wins this one at 23-20. Chicago loses to New Orleans. New Orleans continues to roll with Teddy Bridgewater, winning this one 36-25. Baltimore over Seattle in one of the late games, 4 o'clock games, 30-16. Echoing. And then in the late Sunday night game, Dallas. 37-10 over Philadelphia. Dallas whooped up on Philly in that one, and they did not look like a good team, really. Philly didn't, and there's a lot of issues going on in Philly. In the Monday night game, it was what you'd expect when New England would play the New York Jets. Especially the New York Jets with, in all effect, what is still a rookie quarterback in Sam Darnold. I know he's in his second year, but he'd be out there like, he'd be looking like that show Darnold. Wasn't there a show Darnold? Arnold? Was that Nickelodeon show? And that little kid just looking so lost. And he just said, I'm seeing ghosts out here, man. And it's Halloween, trick-or-treat, kids going trick-or-treating. Well, you know, that's what Bill Belichick and that defense would do to you. They'd be like, I got a trick for you. Now I'm about to trick you to an interception from the Corey brothers and Jamie Collins and Chung on cocaine. And that's what could happen to you. It's 33-0. Darnold was seeing ghosts. But before that game, I would like to investigate that Darnold said that with all our guys, our offense is unstoppable. Well, as far as I know, he had all his guys, and Darnold had 5 turnovers. That's the last thing I'm going to say about that Monday night game. I know we got a caller, but now is not the time for callers. Neek, we will get callers at a later time. I'm ready for Week 8. Neek, I want you to elaborate on any games you want to highlight on Week 7. Anything, especially I want you to highlight on the Jets, Monday night game where they got destroyed by the Patriots, who are a class organization. The Jets could not compete, and Darnold saying that his offense is unstoppable with all of his guys before the game, or just any of the game, Giants. What you feeling, Nick, from Week 7? Any thoughts?
No, Week 8. It's time for Week 8.
Go ahead, bro. Lead us off.
Thursday night game last night, we had the Vikings and Redskins. good friend Rudy Rude right here is talking about, man, I think the Vikings going to win by about 14 or more, 21 or whatever. But actually, the Redskins played them tough. They said we're not going to get embarrassed on Thursday Night Football. AP looked like the AP of old. He was motivated, rejuvenated to play in this game, going against his former team, actually moved into sixth all-time far as rushing leader, career rushing leader in yards. Actually looked very well last night. Almost had 100 yards.
I know you didn't interrupt me, bro, but you're going to tell me that the Redskins actually looked pretty good, playing them pretty close. Now, if you watched that game, you would say it was a close, tough play game, especially in the first half. But at some point, you got to recognize that when a good team plays a team that's inherently bad and they just kind of toy with them like a cat with some kind of, like, pull string toy in front of them, you know, they just like, I'm just staying 3 points in front of you. Bet you can't score. Here, kick another field goal. You know, they're playing with them. Come on, man. You know that. 19-9 was the final in this with Minnesota beat Washington. This game was terrible if you like to watch offensive or good football. Good football team this year, folks. Book it. They're not. Don't bet on them. Don't do that. Don't expect them to win. Don't be a fan of them.
Yeah, I mean, I understand what you're saying, Rue, but come on, man. I mean, they actually made it kind of competitive.
They actually won a game this year. Is that what you're trying to tell me? I know the Browns have only won 2 games, Nick, but you're not about to sit up here and tell me that Washington and the team that doesn't have a mascot name I'm willing to say on the air because of racism purposes is a competitive football team. They're bad because of Daniel Snyder and the puppet GM, Nick. This is a bad team, Nick. I'm not finna talk about them like they're not. So we're going to move right along to the Sunday games at 1. So, Nick, I'm going to tell you the first game I'm looking at is this Seattle-Atlanta game. All right, so in that game, I mean, what do I need to say, Nick? We've already talked about how the Atlanta Falcons are one and whatever. I mean, they've looked